Let's get back to more of this rich dialogue with Tavis Smiley.
I promised you a conversation with a guest in this half hour about climate justice, and I don't know where that guest is. That guest has not shown up, and so we will deal with that at a later time. But it allows me a chance to do a couple things. One, in case you've not heard, to remind you about our show tomorrow, and then there is some climate justice information I want to share with you about what we're doing here in Los Angeles, specifically in something that I hope that can be scaled up across the country. So we'll talk about climate justice in a few moments. So let's do that, guest or no guest. I'll just do it by myself. But tomorrow in our first hour, Dr. Cornel West will be here to announce his vice presidential running mate. We've been talking in today's program and in days past about what it means to have these third party candidates on the ballot. RFK Jr. announced his running mate some days ago. But again, Dr. Cornel West will announce live on this program tomorrow in our first hour who his running mate is. All kind of speculation over the last couple of days about who this person might be. But I look forward to interrogating both Dr. West and his running mate tomorrow on this program for the full hour. He will offer his own assessment to the question that Secretary Johnson asked me moments ago. I should say last hour, minutes ago, moments ago. Hour ago. Anyway, I can't keep track when you do 3 hours every day. But Secretary Johnson asked me why there are so many, according to these polls, why there's a significant slice of African Americans who are considering voting for Donald Trump. He couldn't quite understand that. And Dr. West and I tomorrow will talk about why he's running. And there are people who are concerned that his running will aid and abet Donald Trump. That's always the rub against third-party candidates, that they're going to take votes away from the Democratic Party, Cornel West, Bobby Kennedy, Jill Stein for the Green Party. There's this assumption they're going to take votes away from the Democratic Party and make it easier for Donald Trump to get reelected. We'll put that question to Dr. West, whether or not he thinks his campaign ultimately is aiding and abetting the candidacy of Mr. Trump. I can tell you this, that Bobby Kennedy announced some days ago that he has, in fact, qualified for the ballot in North Carolina. And that's a big deal because North Carolina, as you know, is a swing state. Dr. West will update us tomorrow on the ballot access that he has gained recently in several states as part of his 50-state strategy to offer voters an independent option beyond what he calls, is his quote, the false choices, violence, and division of the corporate-backed duopoly. That's a quote that can only come from Cornel West, the corporate-backed duopoly. Of course, he's talking about this two-party system. We were just discussing in our program today with Bhaskar Sankara of The Nation magazine whether or not we deserve to have more choices in this country. Don't we deserve more choices? We have more than two choices at pretty much anything and everything else we do, for food and for clothing and for cars and for smart devices. We have more than a couple choices, but only in our electoral process and our electoral system, are we limited to just two choices, essentially? And maybe the time has come to reconsider just having two choices. So Dr. West calls it the false choices, the violence and the division of the corporate-backed duopoly, which explains and underscores why he has decided to run for president as an independent. There are those who've expressed concern about his outside independent candidacy and why he didn't do or decided not to do what Bernie Sanders did. Bernie Sanders ran, and we know that Bernie had his own style, his own flow, but he at least ran inside of the Democratic apparatus. Bernie Sanders ran on the inside. Dr. West is running on the outside. We'll ask him tomorrow in this conversation why he's running on the outside of this process. So again, a conversation tomorrow with Dr. Cornel West as he announces his vice presidential running mate on this program in our first hour tomorrow. Now, on to climate justice. I mentioned we were going to have a guest in this half hour, and this is live radio. Sometimes it happens, and people just don't show up. They're not where they're supposed to be. Again, we'll deal with that later on. But what I do want to share with you is that my home station in L.A., I am honored and humbled to be heard across the country, but this is something I hope that we can actually scale up across the country, and that is some robust conversations about climate justice, specifically as it relates to African Americans. I've said many times, and this is no surprise to any of you, that black folk and poor people, we were just talking about poor people and the ways that they are put upon by the IRS. We just had a great conversation with Kimmy Ellen talking about why the IRS so easily and so readily targets poor people for audits and not wealthy people. There are a number of reasons for that. We just unpacked that moments ago. I won't repeat that. But it's not just the IRS. The climate works the same way. The persons who are being most victimized by these climate catastrophes, by these climate maladies, happen to be poor people and people of color. And so if anybody, it seems to me, ought to be having a conversation about climate justice, it's black folk. And that's just an issue that hasn't been, I think, raised high enough on the agenda in our community for conversation. And we are attempting at my home station in LA and certainly on this nationally syndicated program to do something about that, to raise the level of conversation, to amplify the voices of those who are not just being victimized by these maladies, but people of color who are on the front lines of this fight. There are a whole lot of people of color who have been for decades now raising the issue, trying to raise conversations about climate justice, about climate equity, about climate resiliency. I'm thinking now of Dr. Robert Bullard. Dr. Bullard, down in Houston, is known as the father, the godfather of environmental justice. He deserves great credit for being at this for decades. And so there are people who've been raising these issues for years, but it hasn't become a central conversation in our community, in our conversations. We want to change that this year on this program. I'll tell you more about how we intend to do that when we come forward. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Hope, agency, dignity. This is Tavis Smiley.
Can you dig it? Come on.
Sounds different, huh? This is Tavis Smiley.
It is indeed. It's Tavis Smiley all by himself because he has no guests, because the guests didn't show up in the last half hour of today's program. I was sort of laughing to myself a moment ago about the fact that everybody wants to be a talk show host. Everybody wants to be a podcast host. Everybody wants to have a platform. And I ain't mad at you. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I've been at this for a long time. I ain't mad at anybody who wants to have a platform. But it's easy when you got somebody to talk to. But when your guests don't show up and you got to sit there by yourself, it's just you and Jesus in the studio. And Jesus' voice can't be heard over the microphone. It's just you. At that point, it ain't so easy to be a talk show host. So be careful what you ask for. Although I am grateful for the opportunity to sit behind this microphone every day and to talk to you across this country. So I was talking about climate justice, which is the subject we were going to tackle in this half hour. We'll be tackling it a lot this year with guests who will, in fact, show up when they're supposed to be here. And why are we doing this? Because we, black people, we, poor people, end up being, are in fact, the disproportionate victims of these climate catastrophes, as I said earlier, these climate maladies. And so my home station in L.A. recently did a survey, and the survey was aimed specifically at African-American people, 500 likely voters in Southern California, L.A. County, were asked questions about environmental issues. We want to go straight to the source. What do black people think about the environment? What do they think about climate justice? And I was stunned, frankly surprised, at the kind of response we had to this survey in Southern California. Again, 500 black folk about the environment. Let me just tease what we found in our poll. We found, first and foremost, that environmental issues are, in fact, social justice and civil rights issues. There's no separation, really, between those things. Environmental issues for black people are, in fact, social justice issues. Environmental issues are, in fact, civil rights issues. So there's no daylight between these particular issues. But our survey found, in fact, that 7 in 10, 72% of respondents believe that there is a direct connection between environmental justice, social justice, and civil rights. So an overwhelming majority of those polled believe that connection does, in fact, exist. Equally as important, though, respondents overwhelmingly believe that pollution, climate change, and other forms of environmental harm impact black and Latino communities and other low-income communities more than white, Asian, wealthy, and coastal communities. Now, that's significant, which is why I wanted to talk to this brother who is the founder of Green Latinos, because it's not just us. It's impacting the Latino community as well. And that's why we booked him on this program today in this last half hour, wherever he may be at this moment. We pray that everything's okay with him. But that's why I wanted to involve them, that community, the Latino community, in this conversation as well. But here's something that's notable, and I'll close on this note, for now at least. Our survey also finds that this notion that black people believe that we are impacted by this environmental harm, or these environmental harms, more than any other community, that holds true among black progressives, black liberals, black moderates, and black conservatives. Now tell me any issue on which black progressives, liberals, moderates, and conservatives can agree. I can't think of very many. Frankly, I can't think of any at this moment except the one I just told you about. The one issue that we all seem to agree on in terms of its impact on our people, on our community, on poor people, on communities of color, more than any place else, we can all agree on that, whether we're progressive, liberal, moderate, or conservative. That's a statement unto itself, and that's why we need to spend more time on this program throughout the year in a variety of conversations with a number of experts talking about climate justice and the ways that it impacts us. We'll talk more about that when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
What's your quarrel with the world?
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Ready to re-examine your assumptions and expand your inventory of ideas? More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now.
Just want to close the circle on this conversation I was having with you, with myself, about climate justice. Here's my final thought about this, which I think you'll find fascinating and interesting. So I was saying to you that our survey finds that black voters believe that low-income communities and communities of color are and will, in fact, be most affected by climate change in the years to come. And so I think the timing is now. The timing could not be more propitious for us in the black community to start having conversations in earnest about climate justice. Again, I said earlier, there are many black people across this country who've been doing this righteous work, this heavy lifting for years. But it's not, let's face it, it's not a sexy subject. It's not an easy subject. And frankly, it's depressing when you consider the ways in which the damage that we have done to our planet is going to redound in the years to come. But at the moment, it's not too late. There is stuff that we can do to turn the tide, pardon the pun, against the damage already done, man-made, human-made damage already done when it comes to our climate. I was just thinking moments ago about how everybody got so excited yesterday about the solar eclipse. I didn't get a chance to see it myself, but the photos that I've seen today are stunning, just phenomenal. Seeing those photos, this one happened for what, another 20, 40 years before this happens again, I read somewhere. But the photos of that solar eclipse were stunning yesterday. Many of my family, many of my friends saw it. Everybody got turned on by this yesterday. I had a couple of thoughts about that right quick. Number one, it is amazing at this point in American history, at this point in our democracy, the things that can actually bring us together. It takes a solar eclipse to get everybody on the same page. Everybody's celebrating that. Everybody was inspired by it. I wish it didn't take a solar eclipse to get us to come together and to recognize the humanity that we all share. I digress on that point. But the solar eclipse was a beautiful thing yesterday. So we can celebrate that up in the heavens. In the heavens, we can celebrate that. But what about down here on Earth? And all that we are navigating through in real time. What say we about that? More importantly, what are we going to do about that? I close on this note. Many of you, and I mean millions of people over the years, it seems, have been asking me to bring back the State of the Black Union. And I've resisted that for a lot of reasons. It was a beautiful thing when we did it for those dozen years. Everybody tuned in every February to C-SPAN. To watch the State of the Black Union. It's some of the best work I've ever done in my career. So I'm not bringing back State of the Black Union, as it were, but I will tease you and tell you more in the weeks to come about a national conversation that we are going to have on national television that I will be moderating, like State of the Black Union, with a stage full of panelists talking about, you guessed it, black folk and climate change. We're going to flip the script. We're going to change this conversation. We're going to elevate the dialogue and the discourse about this issue of climate justice and how it relates to our community in the months and years to come. So there's a tease. It's going to happen in June. That's all I can tell you right now. But I'm going back on national television. I'm going to moderate another one of these conversations. And this time, we're bringing together experts to talk about the impact of climate justice on our community. That's all I can tell you for now, because that's all the time I have for now. Just like that, 3 hours gone. Back here tomorrow, Lord willing, to do it all over again. Until then, thanks for tuning in to Tavis Smiley. And as always, keep the faith.